so often, just when I'm alone. I can't help the longing I'll feel when you moan. He's a jag, he's a jag, he's a jaguar. He's a jag.
Gary Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio on Wednesday, August 10th. And we are not sure if we are getting contact with William Henry, my supposed guest for this evening. I do have a confirmation from him, and perhaps he is just late or running behind, or perhaps he forgot completely and didn't put us on his schedule. He's a very interesting individual. He's an investigative mythologist, an author, and the host of a radio show called Revelations. He has also invited me on his show, and I believe I was on it maybe a month ago or two. At any rate, hopefully he will show up. If not, then I'm going to have what could in essence be called open lines, and we can go to the chat, and also I can give out the phone number for people to call in if you're interested in doing so, and you can just ask me questions and we'll kind of wing it from there. I am, in the meantime, also Skyping various individuals who may want to come on at the last minute and fill this open spot. Very interesting how people, you know, sometimes just zone out on things that they accept as far as radio goes. Radio is an interesting animal, I have to say. So, at any rate, I've got my guys in the background diligently calling. And I'm seeing that there's still no answer from William Henry. So might as well just move on a bit here and see what we can kind of drum up behind the scenes. There's a lot of people that would like to be on this radio show and are often, very anxious to be on my radio show, and I'm booked through November right now. I'm taking some weeks off as well in the very near future. In fact, next week, I believe I'm not going to be here. I'm doing a presentation for a group down in Orange County, if I recall. And so it's unfortunate if we did sort of miss out on our guests this evening, but maybe there's a reason behind it, and we can bring on some questions just to have a good chat with the audience out there, such as they are. And in the meantime, I'm just going to be Skyping people and inviting them to come on the show just in case that, you know, they are there and want to come on my show, which would be kind of fun. You never know when you might get a whistleblower to actually say yes. And I understand that that's highly unlikely in most cases, but you never know. We're in an interesting time, an interesting juncture in the world scene, as you can appreciate, and anything can happen. It's really an open playing field. And daily we get very strange things going on, really amazingly strange things. So I'll see who's around this evening and who might be wanting to come on the show in the background here. And, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to move over to the chat room, and then I'm also going to pull up the phone, and hopefully the engineer on, I believe it's Adam, will be able to also help me by pulling up the phone thing, whatever they call that, phone board, whatever, so that people can call in, and when we get that running, then I'll let you know, and we can have people do that. And so I am encouraging you all, if you're listening, to go ahead and type your questions in caps into the chat, and we'll just have a sort of a free-for-all here. And it's it's been a wild day, actually, I have to say, from my perspective. And I've got an interesting letter from the White Hats that's been sent to me that I'm going to be posting on my site and sending out and asking people to send virally around the world, interesting times. Apparently, the global settlements, which are money owed to very large amounts of money owed to certain individuals that it was initially stolen from by, well, Elder Bush and a whole group of people, including, well, from the evidence, Obama, et cetera, supposedly is supposed to be reimbursed to these people, and those people who will be reimbursed their money are basically kind of banded together in what's called the White Hats and are then going to put it back into the American economy in various ways. One way I think they're going to do is create a bank, supposedly, that is not, well, I don't know if it's not based on the Federal Reserve or if it's just going to be an honest bank for a change. I'm not sure which. I don't know the details on that. I know that they intend to probably create a bank or maybe more than one. And then they're supposed to be, I know that, I guess it's Leo Wanta wants to build a railroad across, high-speed railroad across the United States, something that we are sorely lacking. And you would think this is, I mean, believe it or not, 2011, and we're living, really, we're living behind the times, technologically speaking, whether people know that or not. Because of the secret space program, we are kind of dangling in the wind by their own actions. And left to fend for ourselves, so to speak, with what I would consider to be mostly antiquated at this time in our development technology, while the secret space program does very, very well with regard to their technology that they're using behind the scenes that involve free energy, obviously, and going interstellar and so on and so forth. So with that in mind, it's always interesting to look at the world around you and kind of contemplate where we might be, where things like starvation, even sickness could be completely eliminated. Of course, they don't want to do that, and they're actually using television shows such as the recent Torchwood, the new renditions of Torchwood, for example, to show you how if populations started to mount and weren't just dying of ridiculous causes and being eliminated right, left, and center by wars, bogus wars, I might add, and all kinds of nefarious dealings behind the scene, that we would be facing a population explosion that we couldn't handle on this planet. But what you have to keep in mind is that the planet, like anything else, is a system, and systems do reach a certain equilibrium if given half a chance, and it's very likely that there might be a rebalancing with souls that decide to actually leave the planet, go off planet, if they simply would open the portals for ascension, which have been closed for God knows how long and are reopening in 2012, and some of which have been accessed by individuals even as I speak, but for the most part are closed to mass migrations, so to speak. And so that may account for, believe it or not, the overpopulation that we do have here on the planet. The real reason for it is simply that souls are prevented in this post-3D, going into 4D world from ascending as they normally would, simply because the stargates have been closed. That's one way of looking at it. I understand that that may not be the philosophy from other people's points of view. Now, let's see. The call-in number is 402-237-2525, and I am sincerely hoping that the call lines are open and that we are able to conduct things this way. And looks like I've got Mike Sparks responding to my call. I'm going to give him instructions to add us to his Skype, which would be actually the radio show, American Freedom Radio, the network that we're broadcasting from, to his Skype, and then I'm going to be directing our show engineer to call Mike Sparks on his Skype. So bear with me, and I apologize for this. Okay, that should be pretty easy. Not going to say what it is over the air, but I have to say that it's a little appropriate. And he is stepping up to the plate here, completely unprepared. But we, you know, as you may know, we did a James Bond is Real, a Project Camelot roundtable discussion with several other researchers, including Mike Sparks, who's written a book called James Bond is Real. And Mike is a brilliant, brilliant guy who is actually still working for the powers that be, believe it or not. But he is a white hat in essence in that setting, and he is here and willing to have us call him. So I am going to be asking the radio show engineer to call him. Let me see if we can do this, and let's see if this can happen. So I think they'll notify me once he's on the line. In the meantime, as I said, there is this new communique from the White Hats that I'm going to send around. I'm actually going to send it on my newsletter as well, because it's somewhat important in the sense that they've been kind of going back and forth on these global settlements with the powers that were, so to speak, for at least 6 months that I know of, in a real big way. I don't know if it was going on long before that as well. And have been getting waylaid and sidetracked over and over again. The monies make it to a certain point, and then they get taken or stopped or whatever. And apparently they've once again been stopped by Obama, who seems to be the last kind of bastion against this at this moment. And Obama apparently reports to Bush Sr., who runs things behind the scenes, in case you aren't aware of that. I'm getting some communiques here. Hold on 1 minute here. I hope this can work. I'm having to sort of go back and forth and see if I can get them in touch with each other. It's kind of a weird thing with Skype. I don't know completely why that is, but anyway, it looks like they're having some kind of trouble. I don't quite understand what it is. Maybe we can get a phone number here and see if that works. So what I was saying, wait a minute. See here, it looks like we're getting Mike Sparks on the line. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am. How do you read me?
Okay, you are live, and you are louder and clearer than Memorex, so to speak.
Oh, good.
Anyway, so great. It's lovely to be able to grab you at this very impromptu moment. I don't know what happened, but my guest simply has not appeared, even though they confirmed their show with me in email and so on and so forth. So so it's lovely to be able to talk to you, and I hope you don't mind spending some time with me and my listeners on American Freedom Radio here. You know, we can talk about James Bond is Real and other things, maybe even get some updates from you since our roundtable video conference happened, what all has been going on with you.
We've been looking at the events in Norway, and we've been re-looking at the events of World War II when they ended. When we were talking about the show, that the Northern Escape Route was open to Norway through Denmark, and then from there, all points in between, you know, all over the globe. And we've been raising questions, running it around our little group here. What would the Germans have done if they had Norway for 5 years? Well, they did. The Germans had Norway from 1940 to 1945. And what I've been doing is going back to, established research. No one's going to question this. You know, sources like Albert Speer's Inside the Third Reich or Ladislaus Farrago's Aftermath. And these were books that, you know, no one is questioning them, right? And in those books, you've got Albert Speer saying, hey, at the end of the war, they asked me if I wanted to fly to Greenland and hang out, you know, living in seclusion, killing fish with grenades and stuff like that. And so you've got mainstream publications saying that there was this northern escape route. And so when you read Albert Speer, I also learned that the Germans were really very much into architecture. So when they're making all this money, you know, reviving their economy and then going to other countries and conquering these countries and stealing the loot from the poor people in these countries, they're taking that money and they're putting it into architecture. And one of the things that they did was build this huge underground base for Hitler called Obersalzberg. Most people say Berkshire's Garden, and I think that's some disinformation being put out here. They make it like it's just an alpine retreat, you know, a nice little house on top of a mountain. They don't talk about how built into the mountain is these tunnels, you know, in order to get to the top. And so Germans are doing this, you know, when they have money. So we asked the question, if they are in control of Norway for 5 years, what do you think they did in Norway for 5 years, from 1940 to 1945?
Okay, let's talk about that when we come back after the break here. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Mike Sparks, the author of James Bond is Real, who has come to pitch hit in our hour of need here with, we've had a cancellation with William Henry, not sure why or what's going on there. We did have a confirmation from him, but things are getting kind of confused. Mercury is retrograde, and a lot of wires seem to be crossing. So at any rate, Mike Sparks is here, and we were just discussing basically some information regarding Norway. And I'm not sure why you're focusing on Norway so much, but maybe you can make that clear.
Well, what it is that, you know, the normal focus of attention is to South America, and then from South America to possibly Antarctica, which is what we call the high technology German defeat theory, which is that they were defeated, but they brought high technology with them. But during the course of that, you know, Antarctica, and the escape route from Germany is northern Germany. The actual Allies did not, we'll call it conquer, Denmark and Norway. The Western forces, you know, the Allies we think of, and then the Russians, are temporary allies at the time, were converging from the west and the east and on Berlin. And then when that happened, Admiral Dönitz was in charge of Germany, which is another surprise. People don't understand this, that Admiral Dönitz was in charge of Germany for a week. So everyone thinks that Hitler was surrounded. And then it was a hopeless situation. He committed suicide. And then that's it. Germany collapsed. No, no. There was a huge chunk of Germany still under their control for a week after Hitler supposedly committed suicide. We don't think he did. We think he was busted out of there by Ian Fleming and his team, and brought to Spain. But that northern escape route was always open. And so from 1940 to 1945, Norway was occupied by the Germans. And in the earlier segment, I talked about how whenever the Germans had any loose change running around, they built these monstrous facilities. And so the question is, and I posed it to my, you know, we'll call him collaborator in these endeavors, you know, Greg Hallett, just a few minutes ago, and he told me that he is adamantly sure that there were underground bases built in Norway. And it makes sense, because Hitler was worried about, you know, Norway being used by the British Navy to shut down the iron ore shipments from Sweden and Norway, you know, which Hitler needed to survive, you know, to have his war machine. Theoretically, if that was shut down, there would be no World War II. So Hitler kept several divisions of troops in Norway all through World War II, because of the fear of the of being invaded by the British. And the British would play on that and say, yeah, we're going to invade there. And so it kept a lot of troops tied down there so that when we actually landed in Normandy, you know, you can't be everywhere. So the Germans
right.
were down in Norway. I mean, Normandy.
Well, okay, well, that's very interesting. You know, Project Camelot has evidence of underground bases in Norway. We have disclosure from an individual in Norway, and actually several people, and confirmation across the board. I mean, there are underground bases in almost every country now on the planet, really. But Norway certainly would be probably one of the top locations for underground bases in my view, based on what I know about Norway. And I have to say that it's probably likely, if Norway has it, then Sweden has it. Sweden has it, then maybe Finland, and possibly we're talking, you know, Iceland. We're talking the whole northern part of the continent up there is very likely to have been infiltrated. And there is a very sort of solid Masonic heavy-duty occult control over Norway that we've come up against, actually, face-to-face, if you will. And I don't know how much of that side of things you're aware of.
Well, that's very good you brought this up. I wish I could have written it on a card, what Greg Hallett told me, because that way you would know, but I'm just not making this up. But Greg Hallett also told me that he believes that Himmler escaped through the northern escape route to Norway and had stayed in an underground base, you know, a German underground base that perpetuated after World War II. And then when he got out of the base and he intermingled with Norwegian society, it was with the Masons. Now, isn't that synchronicity?
Yeah.
Hallett told me this without your prodding. He told me that just an hour ago.
Right, and now I'm telling you what we've gotten. And the other thing is that that we have this substantiated by our witness, and you can go and listen to our interview with Leo Zagami when he was actually speaking some truth. He's since been taken over again and gone back into the fold, so to speak, of the Illuminati, so beware of that situation. But nonetheless, for a brief moment, whether or not that was a staged event, it still appears that he was bringing forward some good information, and I'm convinced of that, having been face-to-face with him during that time. So it is very interesting, the link up with Norway, and then we can fast forward to some of the recent events. What appears to be a staged MKUltra, typical tryout for an assassin or a number of assassins in the recent, Norway killings. Mm-hmm. You may be familiar with that. It's been all over the news, of course.
Well, it may be this other concept that these guys are doing gamemanship on us. They're having so much fun with us because they're, you know, doing circles around us that they may be doing revelation of the method. It may be a situation where Zagami came forward because they felt they needed to give us a handicap. That we're so slow in the upkeep of what's uptake and what's going on here that they had to give us a little handicap, a little help. So he comes on, puts some truth out, reveals it, and if we don't act on it, then it's a double whammy. One, that we didn't act on it, and two, ha-ha, you know, you didn't even figure it out. So it could be a situation like that. And so maybe the killer in Norway, having all these Nazi ties and everything, is a boldness on their part by saying, you know what, we'll just put the flavor out there. What are they going to do about it? You know, we have been running Norway, I'm just speaking possibly in their behalf, running Norway for all these years sub rosa, under the table, that we'll just take off an edge here and just say, yeah, it was a Nazi guy that did this. What are you going to do about it? Liberal, you know, Norwegian society. So my question is, coming back as a military techno-historian, you know, I'm looking at the technology, I'm looking at the weaponry. Okay, World War II ends. You've got all these underground bases. You've got thousands of German troops. What are they going to do? Their paycheck, so to speak, is going to stop. You know, we'll say 1945, German government collapses. When their paycheck stops, what are they going to do? Are they going to stay in these underground bases? Or are they going to say, the heck with this, I'm going back to Germany? Or do these bases have, you know, a pile of loot? You know, Germany, there's no secret, if you study the intel agencies, they counterfeited money. All the sides counterfeited money. So why go back to Germany? You've got this, you know, rooms full of money, you know, British marks, American dollars. So why not just stay in the underground base in Norway? So that's what I'm getting at. I mean, I would just go right to the chase. Could these Germans have just stayed on in their Norwegian bases if the Norwegians were too tired from the war to clean up their own country? Because, you know, Norway is a vast, country. And
well,
at the end of war.
It is a vast country, but it has a very sparse population, which is centered obviously on the in the coastal cities. And an interesting dynamic over there. I would also say that there's probably been a heavy duty interbreeding with Nazi bloodlines into probably Norwegian and other of those areas like Sweden and so on and so forth. And it may be that there's some hidden information. In other words, there may be families not knowing that some of the people involved in them were even ex-Nazis. I mean,
the basic idea here. Is it a situation where they're geographically located in an underground base, but they come out from the base every once in a while to go see a movie, go to a Masonic meeting, intermingle with society, because you can't keep these guys underground forever. It's kind of like the Austin Powers movies. I don't know if you saw the Austin Powers. First one was pretty funny. But in the Austin Powers movie, they had an extra feature, DVD feature, and Rob Lowe is in a birthday party. And they said, we'll say his name is Joe Smith. Where's Joe Smith? And so they said, well, Joe Smith isn't here. And he said, well, where is he? Well, he was working at the base, the Virtue Tech thing. He said, where is he? And then Rob Lowe gets a telephone call that he was eaten by, shark with a laser beam. So it's all in good fun. But really, it's asking a serious question, that if you're going to have this underground base, what's keeping the guards in the underground base? If you have enough of a society, I don't want to get all vulgar here, but you got to have women and men, they've got to have, love life, family life. If you could create as mini society down there, then sure, with religious feeling, cult, keep the Fourth Reich going, whatever. Yeah, you don't have to come out of the hole ever. But if you can't do that, and it's just an underground base and maybe an opening for U-boats and all that, which out of one of the fjords or something, then somehow or another these people are going to have to come out of the base and intermingle with society. So the question is, how much of this intermingling that you notice is what took place above ground from 1940 to 1945 when Germany occupied Norway? And what of it, if any, is secret mingling? The people who aren't supposed to be there anymore. They're Germans. They're living out of a base. Now, that's some pretty wild stuff, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, but it also, in other words, again, what I'm saying is that they actually probably, you learn Norwegian and you join Norwegian society and you create families and so on and so forth, like so-called normal people. But the philosophy pervades. And this is the issue, and with the recent killings in Norway, what seemed to me to be evident was that this seemed to be a sort of a demonstration of, in other words, most times when you get these MK Ultra types that are obviously mind controlled, they kill a few people. This time the gunman just went wild and seem to be killing unbelievable amounts for one individual, and so what you've got is kind of like raising the bar, so to speak, on the MK Ultra type, and you've got a super soldier being kind of trotted out, and some people are thinking that this was a threat to Norway because Norway wasn't stepping up to the plate, was trying to back out of the situation with Libya and also with to do with the IMF and trying to go its own way. So there seems to be perhaps some threats that were going on, some fighting behind the scenes of the country itself. But it is interesting when you bring the Nazi piece to the puzzle, because not only, in other words, a lot of people were making a big deal that this was some lone gun crazy, when in fact it might be a thread going through Norway society since 1945 or 40.
1940, yeah. I would think, and I will answer in two parts. I think the first part is it's the Illuminati reasserting control and saying, look, you're not going off the reservation, Norway. You may have this veneer of a liberal society, but underneath it all, and I made this quote up, it's in the book too. I found it in the book. You got to sometimes read your own book, see some of your quotes. Real Nazis don't wear swastikas. They wear corporate logos. That's my little saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to agree with you like that, because I have to say that in my work in the corporate world, so to speak, I met plenty of Nazis, and you know, they don't even know they're Nazis, really.
They don't even know it sometimes. So these guys are reasserting their control and reminding everybody, you know, you maybe think you're liberal and everything like that, but we call the shots. And that's the first thing that I think. And the second thing is, when I talked to Jim Fetzer on his show, The Real Deal, not to give it a plug, but I'm just trying to be honest, I was on the show before with the Hassan shooting at Fort Hood, and it seems to me that the technology of mind control has, unfortunately, gotten better. I think initially, if you go to the history of mind control, that the best they could do was numb the guy, get him to the general scene of the crime, the incident they're trying to set up, and he could be a patsy. And then I think as time went on, they got to the point where, okay, well, he could get a gun in his hand and shoot in a general direction. That would be Sirhan Sirhan. And the first one, I would say, you know, maybe Lee Harvey Oswald or Harvey Oswald, you know, the shorter Oswald, that would be to just numb the guy, get him in the area. But then I think with Bremer, Paul Bremer in 1972, shooting George Wallace at short range, I think they're getting better. I think their ability to not only control people against their will, but also to make them accurate shooters is improved. And I think the Norwegian shooters in Hassan are examples that not only can we get these guys to the scene of the crime, we can make them dead, very good shots.
Right. And keep them sort of operational regardless of the obstacles sort of that confront them, because it's interesting to see them getting confused. As a matter of fact, I have my webmaster Tommy lives in Norway and he's Norwegian, and he was told a story that happened to the shooter, and I wish he was here to actually tell the story himself. And we were talking about having him on my show. And when we come right back, I'll try to retell the story as I heard it, and maybe at some later date we'll get Tommy himself to come forward. We'll be back.
Really important.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it, like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation. Grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand, conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? You hand in your ticket and you go watch the geek who immediately walks.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we do on occasion have real whistleblowers every now and again, and I certainly would call Mike Sparks a whistleblower. So, Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Lovely. Okay. So what we've got going on here is basically talking, even offline over there, about the idea that the Nazi philosophy has gone sort of subterranean worldwide as an overriding philosophy. In fact, I want to throw this at you and see where you might fall on this spectrum. But I was just having a short chat with George Kavassalis recently, who I interviewed, and he was talking about how he believes that he calls it the White Brotherhood, and mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a weird terminology, but because I think there might be more than one of that, calling themselves that. But at any rate, one of those groups being, probably ex-Nazis or Nazis, more or less, in the fold there, under that particular heading, may be command and controlled by an off-planet group that is centered in what may be a very large spacecraft in the rings of Saturn. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anything about that?
I have. I've heard that the actual inspiration for the high technology comes from, other beings, intelligent beings that are not human. So that is where, we'll call it their trump card. the real trump card of the Nazis, the Aryans, the Vrillians, all of that is that they have proof in the pudding, that they've got stuff, ideas that are true because they were given from, you know, occult knowledge. So you have Joseph Farrell in the Reich of the Black Sun, zero-point energy, the space between the atoms where there's sparkles of energy just coming out of another dimension into ours that you can, you know, lasso. You could, you know, scoop up this energy, zero-point energy. You're not going to go looking for that stuff unless you have a good reason to believe it's there. You know what I mean? You don't just go on a wild hunch, you know, try to do a Thomas Edison, say, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work. After a while, you'll quit. No, they knew that there was something there to find. And so that's why they say they had the edge. So the Nazis claim that the inspiration for all of what they're doing is that they're an advanced race that predates the flood. They were the Atlanteans, I believe. They say, you know, the Lemurians and the Atlantean conflict. They say that they were the Atlanteans, and they survived. And what gets really, really strange is that they just didn't survive in a hollow earth. Because, you know, you can contest whether there is a hollow earth or not. That's not what the legend is. The legend is that they dug with machines the underground places that they needed to survive the flood. So you've got a, that's what they're saying. I mean, you know, if you cut through all the layers, the onion peels, that's what you get to Nazi philosophy and religion, is that they saved themselves with technology. And they got that technology from intelligent beings. They didn't get it from themselves.
Well, I mean, but you also know about the Vril and the women that, you know, they used as well, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can come down to my house anytime, you know. A little fun here, you know what I mean? Yeah,
I hear you, but, you know, but it's real stuff. I mean, they're also talking about, I believe, what they call the nine Giza intelligences. You know about that?
No, I don't know about that one, but I didn't probably read the Giza secret.
Well, yeah, anyway, the idea being that that this is part of what the Nazis did do was they did go to Egypt. They had sent parties to India, to Egypt, to various parts of the globe to unearth secrets and probably in search of the Holy Grail, you name it, right?
Yeah, right.
And I know a certain person who's quite well known who, even as a child, witnessed some of the secrets that the Nazis were keeping in various places in France, for example.
Mm-hmm, right.
So have you ever heard that? Have you ever gotten some testimony in that regard? Because it's quite interesting. Libraries of information that were kept secret in France, that were guarded by the Nazis, and then during the war, obviously, and then even afterwards, possibly secreted to who knows where, through Germany, maybe to Norway, maybe down to Antarctica from there, or maybe taken just directly to an underground base somewhere.
Right, because they know that these things, these relics have power. You know, and the other thing Greg told me is he felt that Himmler, when he went to Norway, he took the Spear of Destiny with him. The actual one, and General Patton didn't capture it. You know, in American mythology, we like to always think that we kicked butt and we got everything. So the idea is that Himmler took the Spear of Destiny, you know, which is people know is the spear of it was poked into the side of Christ, you know, on the cross. So, you know, it's definitely an anti-God kind of thing. You know, the forces of evil are going to like that spear. But the point of what you're saying is that there's hidden knowledge in these bloodlines, these people who've been passing it on from generation to generation secretly, and they're not obviously sharing this stuff. So we have to pay more attention to what oral history is saying and not just be so fixated that the only history is written history. I mean, come on. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it is interesting that, I mean, to me, sort of a forgotten art, if you will, is the idea of witness testimony, which is what we sort of live on, which is what Camelot is really focused on. In other words, that witnesses to events, and we got a lot of older men and women who witness things that they basically could come forward now right before their death and reveal a lot of secrets, I imagine, to the world. And it saddens me greatly that a lot of these people will be clinging to life, maybe losing mental stability. But the ones that are alert and aware before they die and they still choose to keep their secrets and go to the grave, perhaps to protect family members that are still alive on the one hand. But on the other hand, you also think that in some cases these individuals may have nothing left to lose, and yet they still don't come forward. It's a tragedy in my view.
Well, you know, that's why I'm a whistleblower. You know, if it was up to me, I'd say the hell of it. I'd tell the secrets out immediately, you know. Now,
well, there's safety in numbers. So if you think about it, we've got a whole, you know, a generation at this time that's very close to passing on. And a number of people are passing on. It's an interesting dynamic, as you may know. Brian O'Leary, ex-Mars astronaut, just passed on. And I was saddened because I believe there was more that he could have revealed towards the end of his life and chose not to. But there are other people out there that are they're going through the same dynamic. What happens is there is safety in numbers at this moment. So it's something to keep in mind.
Well, I'm going to say something. It's necessary to say as a general principle, but I don't want to get any more specific. But, you know, I think someone could probably put two and two together. But it's important that I get the general principle out. There is also a third option, and that is that they have a tactical nuke buried. That somewhere these people that do have secrets have gone to a room somewhere in a cabin and turned the video camera on or an audio tape. Or they write very fast. Are you catching what I'm thinking? That some of these people might have time bombs buried somewhere.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but there's all, you know, I mean, for a whistleblower, if you think about it, there are many ways, you know, many ways to skin a cat, as they say. You know, they could do that, as you're saying. They could leave something after they die. They could also... there are other ways to do it. You know what I mean? In other words, they don't necessarily, they can release stuff anonymously, and so on and so forth. Testimony is testimony. You can actually tell, the longer you're in this field, the more you're able to begin to tell when you've got an authentic whistleblower, versus somebody who is kind of making stuff up as they go along and putting some truth and seeding truth in between. There's a difference. In the tone of the testimony, and you can really discriminate after a while between the two. It's quite fascinating stuff. But you know, Mike, to get back to the whole scenario of where you're going with this, what I'd like to say here is maybe you could also just briefly, because I have put the word out that other people were invited onto this radio show, just in case someone wants to come forward in during the second hour that we're fast approaching. So we want to leave that open just in case. But I want to give you the invitation to stay with us for another hour. It's up to you.
That's fine.
Okay. And but I would like to say, if you could talk a little bit about James Bond Is Real, the actual teleconference that we did. We're coming to a break right now, but we will be right back at the top of the hour. And then at that time, if, you know, you could just sort of encourage people who haven't already listened to the event. And it's very cheap. And, you know, at this point, the speakers, just for the record, have not made any money on this event that they took a lot of time to prepare for. So I just want to throw that out there for the listeners. And we'll be right back after the break.
All I want is the truth now.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Sperculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Sperculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Sperky water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Sperky banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Sperky water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it, like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation. Grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Mike Sparks, who's been good enough to come on at the last minute and talk about James Bond is real and all kinds of interesting, I guess you might say, Nazi memorabilia and World War II craziness that's still going on in the planet right now, really hasn't gone to sleep, isn't really past business as much as I would wish it was. So at any rate, Mike, we were just talking about James Bond is real, the Project Camelot Roundtable video conference that a lot of people are not aware of is got a wealth of information. It's very exciting to have gotten together such stellar researchers as we did. Just amazing group of people. And, you know, I can say right off the bat, Jim Mars, as who we have interviewed, who's just a brilliant man in and of himself. You had Greg Hallett, who was a, wow, what a find he is. And James Fetzer, Dr. James Fetzer, and James Zweikin, both of whom are amazing minds. And we're talking about experts in the areas of mind control as well as Nazis and the intelligence agencies and all kinds of things. If you get into what Greg Hallett knows and Jim Mars, they just cover the whole gamut from the Kennedy assassination, you name it. So why don't you talk to speak to the people about a little about that exciting event?
Yeah, so the thing that is interesting, it ties into what we were talking about earlier about, you know, holding these secrets inside, maybe putting a time capsule together, making a videotape, an audio tape, or some, you know, secret diaries or something like that. There's also the other option, which is hide in plain sight. I believe that Ian Fleming is hiding these secrets in plain sight. So James Bond is Real is my attempt to decode the James Bond novels and show that Ian Fleming, you know, is warning. Ian Fleming is warning us about the Nazis, the high technology corporations. That when he moved from Smersh and Spectre to Spectre in his novels, he's deliberately saying, wait a minute, I'm comfortable here now. Now I can really reveal the real evil villains that are still here. And that basically Spectre is respect. You take the name Spectre, and it, you know, it's a word, but it's also an acronym. You take RE off and put it in front of Spectre, it becomes the word respect. Ian Fleming is trying to tell you that Spectre is really the Nazis that survived World War II through corporations. And these corporations are run by evil geniuses. When we think of Blofeld, he's really Martin Bormann. If you study Martin Bormann, when anyone crossed him, he would kill them instantly, murder them. That's Martin Bormann. So Ian Fleming, in his novels, is trying to give out the secrets of the Nazi survival and their takeover of you know, the corporate world, of the free world. He's trying to warn us these things, and the only way we could apparently decode it is you need to get a hold of all these experts, your Jim Mars, your Greg Hallett's, and your Jim Fetzer's, and your Dr. Jim Vikings, who actually, you know, had clinical practices where they had killers under MKUltra come to their office seeking psychiatric help. Not like Lucy 10 cents, you know, with Linus and the Peanuts here. But actually come to his office for help. And what I'm saying is that Ian Fleming is hiding these secrets in plain sight, and this poses a grave danger to the Illuminati. Because if the popular James Bond series could be understood and decoded, then the general public would understand who the Illuminati are and what they're doing. That is extremely dangerous. And that probably got Ian Fleming killed once they caught up with and figured out what he was doing.
Well,
so obviously, that's the end game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that that's a very good point, and I think that this is an access point for the mainstream. You know, dedicated people that are followers of Camelot will definitely have already been sort of on this sort of this base. But people that are unfamiliar, oh wow, we're getting a
hook.
Well, this is believe this or not. I'm gonna actually, Mike, can you talk? Because I got a whistleblower calling me. Hold on one sec.
Roger that. You know, basically, Ian Fleming is trying to connect something that the general public will be interested in, which is an adventure tale, a tale of James Bond slaying a dragon. In this case, it's a corporate dragon, a governmental intelligence agency dragon, but it's a dragon nevertheless, and a tale with some romance in there. And he's trying to get the general public excited about fighting evil. they say that he was a misogynist and all that. That's nonsense. If you read the Ian Fleming novels, you'll see that Ian Fleming adored women. He's a philogynist. He loves women. He's a romantic guy.
Mike Sparks, do you know who Mike Sparks is, by the way, Bob?
I think I've met Mike, yes.
Mike Sparks, I have Bob Dean calling here. And I just wanted him to say hello to the people for a brief minute. Bob Dean is on the phone with me here. Bob, say hello to the world.
Hello, Mike. Hello, world.
Hi, Bob.
Just a word. I never expected to end up on a show, but I just wanted to talk to Carrie. But listen, it's good to hear your voice, and I hope things are going well for everybody. And I'm looking forward to the conference in September. I hope you are, too.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for the plug, Bob. That's our Awake and Aware 2011, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And thank you, Bob. We can't wait to have you out here. I'll call you back, okay? Thanks a lot for saying hello, because I think people are fans of yours.
I'll be a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Okay, that was just something I couldn't resist.
No, I don't blame you there. That's the whole point of the conference. By us bringing together Jim Mars and Greg Hallett together and Fetzer, we're putting together, and Viking, the best minds possible. I'm just the catalyst. I'm like the super glue here. I'm going around putting a drop of glue here and connecting these guys together. These guys are never probably going to write a book together. They're too busy off on their own tangents. But what they do is they give you like a 360-degree view of Ian Fleming here, and they're telling you something, that there is something to what he's hiding in plain sight. And, he's reassuring the readers, or in this case the listeners, that there's something there to look for. And it's coming from their world, their perspective worlds of research. That's a timeless event.
Well, I think that's a very good point. I mean, there's two, to me, really important points there. One is that what people are not understanding about these video conferences that we've been able to do on live stream, and I have to say that I even closed my live stream account recently because I can't afford the ridiculous monthly charge that they want to charge me. And then on top of it, if we have too many listeners, they want to charge me viewer hours, which is, a charge on top of the it's an over $1,000 a month to have that channel, unless I get a low viewership one. And that's a possibility, which is still $350 a month. So live stream is very expensive. And what people don't understand is the amount of technology that we've got going on when we have Tommy and my other admin who are volunteering their time to work for Camelot. I am not able to pay them other than what comes through if we make enough on each conference, the way they're handled, these video conferences, and then the organizational problems, and we train all the speakers, and we gather and practice and do practice, all this kind of thing. It's you got to understand the hours of planning that goes into each of these things, and then whatever you guys are doing individually as speakers to bring to the table your work, and then to dialogue among yourselves and compare notes, because this is so unique. This does not happen where you get researchers that are at the top of their game comparing notes live, where even the audience during a certain portion of the broadcast gets to ask questions directly to that group. This is just something that hasn't been done yet anywhere on the internet. The only thing that comes close are these sort of webinars where one person kind of, does their spiel to the audience, and that is just not the same thing. So I just wish people would kind of get clued into what a unique situation that is and what is required to actually make those things happen. It takes us, a couple of weeks and the technology behind it. Tommy basically figures out the shopping portion, people always have problems, so we're always – Zoe is going behind the scenes talking to individuals, telling them, they lost their password, they don't know how to register, they can't find the link, this and that and the other thing. I mean, it's just, it's just madness, like any conference, as you can appreciate, even in the real world is handled. So, so that's what goes on in the, on the logistics side. And then on top of it, to have these people comparing notes is really valuable because it can spur you on to new horizons. Is that not right?
Yes, because what we're doing now is we're going into Norway. We're looking at the northern escape route. And one of the people in the chat room here wants me to talk about the bell. My take on the bell was that the Germans did figure out anti-gravity, and I think they were saying, okay, if gravity is no longer verboten, yeah, I figured you guys would like that German play there. If it's no longer forbidden, why don't we go after time and matter? And I think that the bell experiment was not another attempt at anti-gravity. I think the Germans were trying to either stop time or to destroy matter, the matter that we've got, our three dimensions, and create some kind of dimensional portal. And so even though there's the Kecksburg incident in 1965 that Joseph Farrell cites, where the thing that came out of the sky looks like the bell, and the Air Force, of course, cleans up the bell and carts it away, but that would also, to me, mean not necessarily a flying object. Maybe the bell broke into another dimension and skipped time from 1945 to 1965, you see, and then came out of the sky, bam, Kecksburg, Pennsylvania.
Well, wow, that's a trippy. You know that Bill Ryan and I visited the Henge, the supposed site of the bell, in Poland, in one of the darkest places I've ever been, spiritually speaking, very, very heavy energy in that area where there was a Nazi concentration camp right nearby and so on and so forth.
Yeah, people just went to their deaths. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the most, the darkest places I've been, at least in this life. So I have to say that I agree with you. I do think that I think it was a time travel device. I think, you know, a lot of people will be familiar with Jodie Foster and the movie Contact, in which see her. They were sort of, I guess, using a kind of a model for what, in theory, the Nazis might have been doing with the bell all those years ago.
You're not at the point yet where you want to put a human being in the middle of it. Any volunteers? You know what I mean? It's the bell was unmanned.
You know? Yeah, in theory, but, you know, the way the Nazis viewed humanity, of course, they would just consider them to be, you know, fodder for experiments.
I meant somebody that we would care about and want to bring them back. Yeah, they could find all kinds of people and volunteer them against their will. You know, you're going into this bell. And, of course, you know, the bell killed dozens of people that were near it, you know, that tried to approach it. You know.
Yes, I remember hearing about that. Well, it's interesting because I don't know. Are you familiar with the work of Michael Schrat?
No, I'm not. I have to.
Okay, well, you know, this is one of the things that Camelot has always wanted to do and basically has done online. And the Project Camelot roundtables are like another step in that direction. But the idea being to bring witnesses together to compare notes. Again, as I said, Michael Schrat.
You know, many disciplines.
Yeah, Michael Schrat is a military historian, and he basically specializes in aircraft, and he's interviewed NASA both online and offline, and gotten heavily into tracking the kinds of craft that were on, you know, on the record and off, and he would have the sort of 411 on what you call the Kecksburg incident. Mm-hmm. Rich Dolan is another historian who is, I'm sure you're familiar with Rich.
I know him, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a brilliant guy, and we're going to be having him at the Wake and Aware conference. He has always got new material, and he's always, he is really plugged in, let me tell you. And these guys are just amazing. It just bowls, you know, to me, I'm bowled over by the people that we've come across and the people that continue to come to us. And I think it's so exciting where technology is going because it does allow for us to get you people together to where we can start to actually begin to work together to unearth more secrets.
Well, they don't want us to do that now. They do not want us to compare notes.
Yeah.
course.
Obviously, the powers that be want us to stay in fragmentary disarray.
Yeah, and they want to divide and conquer, and that's always their way. And, you know, there's a lot of ego and all kinds of craziness that goes on with researchers and whatnot, and people that won't appear on a stage with somebody else and all this kind of craziness. And anybody who gives conferences knows about these little infights that the powers that be have just, you know, been so elated by, to see that, you know, basically see us undercut ourselves.
Well, what they're afraid of is when we can actually stay civil and not fight over the points that we disagree with, but let the you know, shake the tree and see what comes together and what connects. They're scared of that. That's actually what we do in the military. It's called pattern analysis in the military. In military intelligence, we will take a map of the area we're operating and say, okay, there was a bomb attack here, there was a sniper attack here, you know, and we put push pins in the map. Of course, it's digital now. But anyway, you do a pattern analysis.
Exactly.
Find out where all the red things are, the pins are coming together.
Yep.
They don't want us to do that.
That's exactly right. I pattern analysis is one way of calling it. Triangulation is another way of looking at intelligence, as you know. And it's these things the military uses on a normal course can be used by people in our sector. It's just that we're, you know, very slow on the uptake, I'm afraid to say, that people don't realize what value can be had by working together and bringing together our strong points and our talents. And I think it's very exciting to see you guys come together the way you did. And I know that you're behind the scenes, Mike, you're working with these guys all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. I wish I could be in person. It's one of the tragedies. We don't have a high-speed train system. If we did, we could all hop on a train and we could put the dry erase board out, and then we could start doing the McGarrett 5-0 thing.
There you go. Okay, we'll be right back after this break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Which is Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Mike Sparks. Mike has come on because William Henry, for some reason, forgot about our radio show, and not sure what happened there, but it is Mercury retrograde, so we will forgive him and figure out maybe a future engagement that we can bring him on the show at another time. So, Mike, if you're still there.
I'm still here.
Great. Basically, where would you like to go from here? Because I'm curious, you know, where else you're going in your research and what else you might want to bring to the table while we've got another half hour up to the show here.
Oh, yeah, plenty to talk about. What I'm trying to do is connect the low-technology German defeat theory, which is that the Germans didn't have a real well-organized escape plan. The war loss came upon them, and then Martin Bormann and company just basically fled as individuals in a makeshift manner to Argentina. They had a pile of money that they stole from all the concentration camp victims and everything, but they were kind of rooting for them because they're kind of the underdog. They're hunted. They're not in good order. They're having to take menial jobs in order to survive. And I'm saying this is I'm giving it to the first time to the world. My theory is I call it diversionary theory. This would be for my second book, James Bond is Real 2, Bodyguard of Spies. I'm already, you know, working on that book. And the main thesis of that is diversionary theory. I believe that Martin Bormann and some of the high-profile Nazis, Adolf Eichmann and company, Mengele, are being used as rabbits. That they really know that there's a German colony somewhere, you know, underground in South America and or Antarctica, But to draw attention away from them, these guys take the money and then they hop from country to country in South America to create this illusion of the low technology German defeat thing, that they're, you know, not having a good time. And it just doesn't make sense. Because if you think about it, everything that the Germans did, they did it in a grandiose architectural way. They had plenty of money. They built big buildings. They built underground bases. Does that make logical sense from you that from 1943 onward, they knew we were going to lose the war from Stalingrad, the Battle of Stalingrad, okay? We'll call that. That's a lot of evidence to show that they knew that they were losing the war then. Are we to believe that Martin Bormann, who built everything in a grandiose way, he was running Nazi Germany, really, from 1935 to 45, Hitler's not running Germany. Really, Germany, as a civilian nation, Hitler has no interest in Germany. You could work till you're, you know, dead, and you'll never get that Volkswagen. Hitler is more interested in running the army and playing war. And really, the country, Germany, Nazi Germany, is run by Martin Bormann. So you got this guy loaded with money. He's got load of, you know, projects underway. He knows he's going to lose the war. Do you think Martin Bormann's going to go to South America and be on the run? It just doesn't make sense. If anything, he's going to make what you call an economic colony. That means he's going to create, buy a chunk of land that he can cut trees, log, timber, you know, mine. He's going to take a chunk of land and have a corporate entity working that land like an economic colony. You know, when America was first colonized, that's what happened, right? Come over to the United States, grow tobacco or something, right? So he's doing this economic colony thing. You know, why do you need to be on the run working at, you know, a dead-end job? You know, you have so much money, you could just stay on the economic colony and never leave.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say right here, though, that I agree with you. I think that's great, your analysis in regard to these guys kind of being what you call kind of rabbits, taking money and sort of secreting away, but drawing the scent away, if you will, from places like Antarctica and underground in Argentina and so on. But the fact of the matter is that they were also making deals way ahead of the end of the war, right, with the Americans.
That's right.
And that they were financed, though, by Prescott Bush and family early on, and that on top of it, they were, I believe, there's evidence that that they were funded and organized and allowed to happen basically by a part of the Illuminati that are British. In other words, you have to keep in mind the secret government side that was always operational and was, in essence, I believe, financing Hitler and maybe his rise, and in some ways he was steered by a larger group that is still to this day running things. And so, in other words, it looks like there was a war to be won or to be lost, and certainly there was for all intents and purposes for public consumption. But what was going on behind the scenes and the plans that were going on, I'm trying to remember the name of that organization. It starts with an F. It's the family name that basically had all the money, you know, in Germany at the time of the war.
You mean the IG Farben?
Yes.
The Thyssen's.
Yes. So what you're talking about are corporations that were already economically planning the future.
Let me kind of portray like a painting here. What I see happen, here's the mosaic. World War II ends. The guys that are, you know, obviously Nazi, they have to, for a time, go into hiding. And I think they went into hiding in good order. They had underground bases, economic colonies. So that's the disinformation there. But you're right. At the same time, Hitler was a Rockefeller Illuminati experiment. The Rothschilds created it, hopefully to kill Stalin, and then they'd have a big war. But it was really the Rockefeller Illuminati's, you know, Hitler experiment. The Hitler experiment didn't pan out the way they wanted to, but they did, you know, absorb it back in the United States. So as Jim Mars says, the United States of America has become the Fourth Reich. So the question is, really, at what point does the Germans in hiding make reestablished contact with the Germans that are supposedly working for us in the United States under Operation Paperclip and Sunrise and all that, and where they just stop hiding anymore and they're just out in the open because the United States, the political mood has changed. You know, as soon as FDR was killed, which I think he was murdered, what happened is the country had turned right wing, pro-business, pro-industry, you know, and it's been getting more right wing as time goes on. So the United States has become a fascist, proto-fascist state, and no one likes to hear that. We like to think of the United States as the land of the free and the home of brave. Well, we need to start acting like it. We haven't been. And a brave American does not go along with evil just because corporate paycheck, you know, is connected to evil. We only real Americans only do things if it's morally sound. And that's what James Bond represents. James Bond is a British moral hero. He does only what's morally right.
Right. Well, good point. I wonder if you probably don't read my blog as a matter of course, but I actually drew people's attention it's about a couple weeks back, to an article that was written a while ago by Christopher Hitchens, who's a well-known journalist who writes for Vanity Fair, among other things. And it's an article that appeared on what's called the Spitfire list. And the original article was written by a guy named Dave Emery called How Did Stieg Larsson Die? And it's all about this famous author who wrote, the girl who the dragon with the dragon tattoo, which many people will know was made into a movie. And he wrote a series of books. But what was very, very interesting is that he was basically blowing the whistle using a literary format, just as Ian Fleming was doing, about the Nazi infiltration into Norway. And so I think you might find that of special interest because, you know, one has to leave no stone unturned. And basically he died in a very questionable way. And basically the article is talking about the fact that he was probably eliminated because his books were revealing that aspect in Switzerland and Norway of the Nazi affiliation that we were talking about at the beginning of the program. So, what I'm saying here is that you can find the truth in the oddest of places, and I agree with you that it's very likely that you're talking about underground Nazi society kind of linking up towards the end of the war with the ones that were kind of on the run. Isn't right. that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then as time goes on, you know, our attention's focused towards fighting the Soviet Union. Hey, you know, bygones are bygones. You know, who's hiding anymore?
Right. Very interesting. I'm also interested. I don't know how much you know about Wernher von Braun.
Well, I was thinking of him exactly. I think that Ian Fleming and Moonraker, if it's von Braun, is Drax. Hugo Drax is clearly von Braun. He's a superstar. Everyone loves him. You know, it's got to be, you know, Ian Fleming reverse engineering von Braun into Hugo Drax.
Well, yeah, but so if you could just describe that, because, you know, I have asked Carol Rosen about that, and, she at some point was going to do a Camelot interview. It just never has happened. But obviously she may have some inside track on that, although every time I try to get a straight answer in regard to von Braun's role and how much he knew, so to speak, I kind of get railroaded, and so I'm interested to hear you kind of talk about that, because I think he was in a unique position to be orchestrating things and looking like the golden boy on the one hand, and I understand that from what Carol says, you know, he had some good ideas, or maybe he reformed himself as time went on, I don't know, and wanted to warn us about things like Project Bluebeam, in which we would have a fake alien invasion scenario.
Right. It's very important stuff. Yeah, von Braun is in 19, we'll call them the war years. He is a dedicated Nazi, but his Nazi dream is for a society that's efficient. You see, we'd have to get to the essence, and I failed to do that earlier. The whole essence, the attraction of Nazism is, you know, everyone working together. If we would just stop using our differences and drop them and just, you know, go together and herd effect, wouldn't we get a better effect? Only if the guy at the top, the dictator, is brilliant. But, you know, as good as the most brilliant dictator is, he's not as good as all of us thinking. And so the thing that people don't understand, like Nazism, is the necessity for democratic thought, is that if you go together, you're just going to go off the cliff together that much faster. You must have that guy, the boy with the finger in the dike, saying, wait a minute now, Werner, this doesn't make sense. That's the guy that saves the day, the guy that raises those questions. And then the idea of democracy is then we take these all these ideas and the problems and meet them head on, and then we come up with a stronger whole. But Nazism doesn't say to do that. That's why they lost the war. Once you got all the Americans and the British and the, you know, the Commonwealth countries working together, what they came up with was so much better than even the von Brauns can come up with. But von Braun wanted that efficient society so he could focus all the attention into quest, you know, for the stars. He wanted action-reaction rockets. So the thing that's very interesting is while von Braun is having contact with what's called the diaspora, you know, the Nazis in hiding, the dispersed Nazis, and he's also being the rock star of the West, he's the, you know, action-reaction rocket expert, is how much did he know, if anything, of anti-gravity research, that other area, and the secret space program? And did he know that his action-reaction rocket program was a front and that we actually can go to the stars routinely with with anti-gravity? And that would be one question, line of thought I would have with Carol Rawson if I have a chance to talk to her or, you know, put the question to you through her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the second question would be, you know, while von Braun knows that these guys are getting stronger in the United States and you're seeing symptoms of the same kind of groupthink here in the United States, did he get alarmed that would be so easy to pull the wool over eyes? You know, once you start getting the groupthink, you start trusting whatever the government says. And when von Braun, you know, saw the end of his life there, was that what he was doing when he made that famous warning that the first boogeyman would be, you know, war, the second one would be rogue nation states, nuclear war, asteroids, and then the final card would be E.T., you know, aliens is the final fear card. So that's how I'd approach it with her, is to see what evidence she has. I'm not talking for a smoking gun where, you know, von Braun takes her aside. You know, Carol, all of his action-reaction rocket stuff we're doing is bogus. There's better ways of doing it. You know, I don't expect him to have that, you know, come-to-Jesus moment here with Carol Rosen, you know, okay? But I would say go back in your mind, Carol, in your mind, and look for clues where von Braun may seem like he's giving body language or cryptic remarks that there's a whole better way of doing space travel than he's letting on.
Very good point. Absolutely. And, you know, and I have to say that, you know, hindsight is supposed to be 2020, but what I find...
I say use it then. You know, if hindsight's 2020, then let's use it.
Yeah, but what I wanted to say about that is that unfortunately I think what people do with hindsight a lot of times is they try to gloss over and paint it with beautiful colors, everything that happened, because they've got a fondness for the individual, whatever it is. And unfortunately that clouds the vision into what really may have been going on, and I think you're right on. I do believe that he was in the know. It's just a psychic feeling that I have.
I agree.
As to what was going on in Argentina, and I think there's an interesting cup.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it, like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation. Grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride Flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride Flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride Flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Freedom Files. Weekday, Files. Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio. Radio. Radio.
Whistleblower Radio. We're having a very impromptu show here, and Mike Sparks, where the last 15 minutes, you have been a real trooper, and I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, saving our ass, so to speak, because William Henry did not show up as previously confirmed, and I know that he will be very apologetic when he realizes what went down here, but we will get him back if we can in the future. Mike, so what we were talking about off the record there was actually just where Wernher von Braun would have been psychologically, maybe even. And I was saying how he might have had the mindset of an astronaut. In other words, he was a public figure in America. That basically was his insurance policy on the one hand, who also may have behind the scenes been in the know as far as the secret Nazi community down in Argentina for one and probably Antarctica for the other. not to mention what was going on with regard to paperclip, et cetera. But I think he had a foot in both camps. That seems to be what seems obvious to me.
Well, I don't see him arguing at the end of his life. This is the critical part I would also go into, is he must have known that there's an end. We reached the end stage of action-reaction booster rockets in the 70s. The Saturn V, you know, it's a miracle thing doesn't blow up on the pad. The Russians have never been able to build a booster that big and not have it blow up on the pad. So, however Braun did it, it's a miracle that he got something that big. So, in other words, we're at the point of diminishing returns. They say the hardest part of space travel is the first 100,000 feet. You're breaking the Earth's gravity for the first 100,000 feet with action-reaction. You're going from zero to hero. Extremely difficult. And so if NASA is saying we're not going to do any more big boosters, we're going to do this space shuttle thing, Von Braun probably looked at the thing and shook his head and said, this is unsound. Now, I'm not an engineer. Now we all know why it's unsound. The space shuttle's unsound. Von Braun knew, of course, liquid oxygen, you know, flakes off. You can't have this, you know, glider. You can't be adjacent to the liquid oxygen. You know, all these things. He must have known that the sham can't go any farther.
Well, so, all indications was he was smarter than that, right?
Oh, yeah. He know that there's a limit to action-reaction, you know, so instead of fighting gravity, we need to counteract gravity. We counteract magnetism with, you know, electromagnets, so why not approach that thing? So I can't believe that he didn't know about it.
He was a Nazi. He came out of, you know, they were building UFOs, you know, basically way back when during the war. I mean, you know.
Well, the question is, was he compartmentalized? And I don't think so. I just think that Nazi Germany is not that big of a pond. So it's basically rivalry at that point. Okay. You know, these guys are doing the anti-gravity thing. I'm doing my rocket, you know, action-reaction. Hitler sees me. I can do something immediately to help the war effort. But me, downside, you know, he had to know that the action-reaction's got its limits.
But also, he was the perfect, you know, he was the perfect sort of Trojan horse, if you will. You know, a good-looking blonde guy put in at the top of the rocket science division at NASA, or, you know, whatever you want to call the space sort of race at that time, you know, it just seems so obvious to me.
Well, diversionary, I would think. If it's going to get real conspiratorial, that if he was really in on it, let's pretend, you know, this is what I call reverse engineering. In the military, we say we're going to be at this spot, we're going to ambush these guys at 0500. That means we need to be in place by 0300. That means we need to parachute in by 0200. You see this reverse engineering, reverse planning process? Well, maybe at the meeting, the evil meeting of not Spectre but Respect, they said, you know, Werner, what I think you need to do with the Americans is get them on this action-reaction rocket thing. That'll keep them diverted from our anti-gravity stuff. Can you do that for us, Werner? Because, yes, mein Herr, I can do that, Mr. Bormann.
Well, right. You know, it's like you put a plant in, you put a guy in there that's charismatic, whatever, and then he's your sort of dog and pony show while a misdirect, as you say, going on while you've got something else going on totally. Now, and then whether he's clued in or not is the question.
It may not have been his expertise. In other words, he spent his whole life in action-reaction. It may be he's reached a Peter principle. It's not his forte, so he's got to play the cards that he has, and his card is to keep the Americans on action-reaction rockets and away from the, you know, anti-gravity, and he gets to be a rock star in that realm, and that's his, you know, service to the Fourth Reich, is to keep attention away.
Yeah, I hear you.
Still a brilliant guy, you know.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I know there are plenty of people that like to say that, you know, that he was just a good guy. And I know that Carol Rosen would just say that and say that that wasn't his area and they kept him in the dark and so on and so forth. I'm sorry, I don't buy it, you know, so everyone has to kind of go down their own road with that. But,
well, I agree with you. I think he knew about anti-gravity. It just wasn't his expertise. So, you know, if he wanted to pursue anti-gravity, he would have got on one of the U-boats or one of the seaplanes and went to Antarctica and South America to practice it.
Sure. Yeah, but again, everyone does their thing where they're best at, you know, working for the whole thing. And you got to keep in mind that it's also not necessarily deceiving all Americans. You're talking about a division of America that financed the Nazi Party. So you're talking about them being in on the game. So the echelon that he's working for and that he's rubbing shoulders with is on board with the whole plan anyway. In other words, that the whole thing is a sort of a dog and pony show for the American public while something else is going on in underground bases and in completely different places and in our Antarctica where the Americans are every bit as involved, certain factions of them, no doubt about it. And that's when you bring in the Anunnaki and the thing gets really convoluted. What I'd like to do is go to the chat room and give some of the questions here in case we're missing anything that someone might have wanted us to ask and see if we can talk about that really quick. I didn't promise to talk about Tommy's story with regard to Norway, so maybe if I can quickly just say that a young child, basically it was written up in the Norway newspaper, he was face-to-face with the shooter, and he screamed out loud over and over again and went and walked right up to the shooter saying, "I will not die today, I will not die today, I will not die today." And the shooter was so thrown off by the kid, apparently, or impressed, or whoever, whatever you want to call him, that he did not kill him. And the kid is alive today. So that's a really interesting story. It's how you can think about how these guys are MK Ultra programmed, and then something comes along that is so outside their programming, they don't know what to do with it.
Well, I think that, you know, the MK Ultra thing has gotten better, and I think the basic mind over matter is something that has to be, we've all seen examples of it, how people have been, you know, put under hypnosis and they've made their bodies in stiff as boards that, not to get into human potentiality here, but we all know that as beings that are partially supernatural and partially temporary beings, we're not using a fraction of our potential. So somehow they're unlocking that ability to have superhuman strength to the sense that he could even be shot several times and not go down. And that's what we're looking at in the super soldier thing. So this your shooter in Norway having that invincibility gives him the upper hand of boldness, you know, the audacity of taking the first action. Is usually advantage goes to attacker.
Right, but in this example anyway, we're talking about how child is father to the man, and basically the child did prevail. So we've got a question here: are the Nazis connected to AI? And that's a very good question.
Well, you're talking about artificial intelligence research.
And there's said to be an AI running this planet. Don't know if you've heard that.
Well, you know, I would just go to supernatural evil. The basic Nazi mentality is that if you just subjugate everybody and create a herd effect, you're going to get better results, human results. But, you know, always it seems that the herd is steered by a dictator who is a person who doesn't want diversity. So what happens is you get a narrow-mindedness, and so that narrow-mindedness always tends to be evil, you know. It tends to be the one that doesn't want to hear the multitude of other opinions and other ideas. So it has to say no and stomp on no, actually. Anyone who has alternative ideas, they have to be stomped out. So, but the idea is that they have power, cannot be denied, because, you know, why is it continuing? You know, the thing that what I did was, all right, let's say Bormann lived to his 80s, all right, if, Mengele lived to his 90s or something, how do they pass the torch down to the second and third generation? Wouldn't the second, third generation would not be bitter anymore about World War II? Wouldn't they be more mellow in the, you know, blue jeans and Coca-Cola, that kind of thing? Well, the Illuminati, that's what they spend most of their time doing, is passing the torch to the younger generation so that they have the same intense beliefs.
So, Mike, we are at the end of the show. I want to thank you very much. Can you give your website for everyone and whatever else you want to say for parting words here?
Yes, you can go to my website. It's jamesbondisforreal.com. And you'll see a lot of web pages there of various subjects for free. I'm not just trying to sell the book. The book is in paper form, and there's a link on the web page to buy the book. And the idea is that with a paper book, you can take and read it, meditate on it, write, you know, highlight pen marks and sticky notes, and you get a deeper understanding than, you know, straining your eyes on a computer screen.
Okay, I want to thank Mike Sparks. I want people to understand that he is a whistleblower working for the defense industry and coming forward as a whistleblower in spite of that. You should honor him here. Thank you very much, Mike Sparks, for coming forward at this time and for being such a trooper for us.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it, like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation. Grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.